In the Forest, written by Edna O'Brien and read by Stephen Ray.
For Imelda Riney, Liam Riney, Father Joe Walsh. In Memoriam. Turn back, thou bonny bride, nor in this house of death abide. Cloosh Wood. Woodland straddling two counties and several townlands. A drowsy corpus of green, broken only where the odd pine has struck up on its own. Spindly. Freakish. The stray twigs on either side branched, cruciform-wise. In the interior, the trapped wind gives off the rustle of a distant sea, and the tall, slender trunks of the spruces are so close together that the barks are a sable brown. The light becoming darker and darker into the chamber of non-light. At the farthest entrance, under the sweep of a brooding mountain, there is a wooden hut choked with briars and brambles, where a dead goat decomposed and stank during those frantic, suspended, and sorrowing days. It was then the wood lost its old name and its old innocence in the hearts of the people. Ellen, the widow woman, did not join in the search when the men and women set out with their dogs and their sticks, clinging to the last vestiges of hope. Yet she dreams of it. Dreams she is in Cloosh Wood, running back and forth, calling to those search parties whom she cannot reach. The tall trees no longer static but moving like giants, giants on their grotesque and shaggy roots, their green, needly paws reaching out to scratch her. And she wakens in a sweat, unable to scream the scream that has been growing in her. Then she gets up and goes into her kitchen to boil milk. She looks at the sheen of dark beyond her picture window, the plants, geraniums and cacti limp in their sleepiness. Looks at her big new brass lock, bright as a casket. And then she comes fully awake, and as she tells it again and again, Eily, the dead woman with her long hair, walks towards her and says, Why didn't you help me? The Kinderschreck, she answers back. The Kinderschreck. And with her raised arm tries to blot out the woman's gaze, the light of the eyes a broken gold, like candles puttering out. Kinderschreck. The Kinderschreck. That's what the German man called him when he stole the gun. Before that he was Meichen, after a saint, and then Meich, his mother's pet, and then boy when he went to the place, and then child when Father Damien had him helping with the flowers and the cruets in the sacristy, and then K, short for O'Kane, when his hoodlum times began. He had been a child of 10 and 11 and 12 years, and then he was not a child because he had learnt the cruel things that they taught him in the places named after the saints. He was 10 when he took the gun. He took it so as not to feel afraid. They put him away for it. It was his first feel of a gun, his first whiff of power. It felt heavy. When he stood it up, it was taller than himself. He did not know if he would have the guts to fire it. His hands shook when he loaded it. Yet he loaded it out of a knowledge he did not know he had. Then he cuddled it to himself and gave it a name. He called it Rod. I didn't mean to kill, only to frighten one man. He wanted to say that, but he was not able to say it because they were beating him and shouting at him and dragging him off. There was a guard. The sergeant, his father, and Joe Mangan, the bad man that threw the shovel at him and blamed him for cycling over his wet concrete and destroying it. It was not him that cycled over it. It was Joe Mangan's own son, Podge, but they blamed him. No matter what was done wrong, they blamed him. And there was no one to stand up for him because his mother was dead. They said she was dead, but she wasn't. They buried her alive, suffocated her.